Before the news of the U.S. missile attack in Syria last night, there was news this week of a North Korean ballistic missile launch just before the first summit meeting between President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping at Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida. How to halt North Korea's nuclear program is one of the main topics on the summit's agenda. Trump wants China to work harder to rein in North Korea. Joining us now is Sig Hecker, who's a senior fellow at the Center for International Security and Cooperation at Stanford and emeritus director of Los Alamos National Laboratory. Sig Hecker, welcome to Here and Now.
It's my pleasure.
And what do you make of Secretary of State Tillerson's response to North Korea's latest missile launch, that the United States has spoken enough about North Korea and has no further comment?
Well, it's hard to know what to do with that particular comment. At this point, my view has always been, actually, that what we need to do now is talk to North Korea.
One-on-one, just the United States and North Korea?
As it turns out, that would be the most productive. And actually, the reason for talking, a lot of people misunderstand, why talk again? You know, haven't we negotiated off and on over the years? The reason for talking now is because the Trump administration, and of course that includes Secretary Tillerson, they face an entirely different threat than the previous three presidential administrations have faced. The threat today is the North Koreans have a nuclear arsenal. And the challenge today is, how do we make sure that there is no nuclear catastrophe on the Korean Peninsula? In other words, that those weapons are not used. And to do that, it takes the United States to talk directly to North Korea.
Well, let's go back to the point where North Korea managed to get a nuclear program. And I think in the modern history of North Korea, we kind of have to go back to the 1994 agreement between President Clinton and North Korea. Tell us what that did exactly, first of all.
So actually what happened is the North Koreans had been building the capacity to be able to build the bomb for several decades before the Clinton administration. The Clinton administration's challenge was, how do we stop the North Korean from getting the bomb? And he did this through what was called the Agreed Framework in 1994. And by the time he left office, it's my general sense, the North Koreans did not have a bomb. And so he more or less succeeded. However, in the next administration, the George W. Bush administration, there are a number of officials who simply did not like the agreed framework. Eventually, they wound up walking away from that, having accused the North Koreans of cheating. When they walked away, they weren't prepared for the consequences in that North Korea then built the bomb. So the best as we know, North Korea built the bomb sometime 2003, 2004.
And was there any way the United States could have stopped that from happening?
Well, the general sense, at least particularly of the Clinton administration, was that they were very close at the end of the Clinton administration of coming to resolution. In other words, part of the deal was that the U.S., in conjunction with South Korea and Japan, would actually build the North Koreans electricity-producing modern reactors. In return, the North Koreans would drop their nuclear weapons ambitions. The U.S. also had promised to sort of develop a normal relations, normalization of relations with North Korea. So that's probably the best chance that we had. In the Bush administration, I think there was just too much suspicion of North Korea cheating, and so I don't think we had much chance. In the Obama administration, it was very interesting. The challenge there was they had the bomb, but how do you stop North Korea from getting a real nuclear arsenal? The Obama administration tried. However, in the end, they lost faith pretty quickly. And so that's what I mean by today. The challenge is very different. They have a nuclear arsenal. And there's the potential for a nuclear catastrophe. And so that's why it takes a different approach today.
But you also hear the critics of that approach who would say, we're dealing here with a guy who appears to be addicted to drugs, among other things. He's not a rational actor. How can you work with Kim Jong-un?
Well, I disagree with the fact that, let's say, he is irrational. If you look at what he's done in 5 years, I mean, he's built a formidable nuclear arsenal. I think he's unpredictable. And for the most part, the danger is we simply know so little about him. And that is actually precisely the reason that I believe we need to go talk. And that is to make sure that he doesn't believe the young man that he is, that somehow those nuclear weapons can be used in some limited fashion, that there may be no particular danger of escalating a conventional confrontation into a nuclear confrontation, that it really understands how dangerous nuclear weapons are to those within country. In other words, either from a nuclear weapons accident or the issue of the security of those nuclear weapons.
What do you think the North Korean nuclear capability is at this point? Do you have a sense of how big their arsenal is now?
It's very difficult to assess the size of that arsenal. The best that we can actually do is to try to estimate how much of the bomb fuel that North Korea could have made. In other words, the plutonium and the highly enriched uranium. Based on those estimates, I think it's possible that North Korea today has sufficient bomb fuel for 20 to 25 nuclear weapons. The most important aspect of assessing their nuclear capabilities are the fact that they've done 5 nuclear tests. And the last few nuclear tests have been on the destructive power on the order of a Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So in other words, they know how to make a bomb big enough to destroy an entire city. And with the enormous rocket and missile campaign they had in 2016, I now generally believe, although again, all of this is very uncertain, that they most likely can put a nuclear warhead on missiles that can reach all of South Korea, all of Japan, and perhaps some U.S. assets in the Pacific. I do not believe they have the capability to reach the United States as yet.
Do you think that they would ever give up the nuclear program? Would you ever go from having the leverage that a nuclear power has to not having that leverage? Is there a deal the U.S. could make to get them to give it up?
So at this particular time, I think there's no way that North Korea would give up its nuclear weapons. What the Chinese tend to say is, look, it's you Americans that have caused the North Koreans to get nuclear weapons. You caused them their security anxiety. And unless and until that anxiety is resolved, North Korea is not going to give up its nuclear weapons. That is a long-term project. Talking now is to avoid the use of weapons and to lay the groundwork that eventually one might be able to get to a point where one can convince the North Koreans they're actually better off without nuclear weapons than with them.
It seems like every time the issue of North Korea comes up, one of the first things that U.S. leaders will say is, well, you've just got to put more pressure on China. China will fix the problem if they really apply pressure. What do you think of that, Sig Hecker?
So my view is that the last couple of administrations indeed have believed two things. One is sanction and more pressure from China. That hasn't worked, and in my opinion, it will not work.
I want to ask you one more thing, because you, unlike probably everyone who's listening to this program right now, or almost all of them, have been to North Korea. What sticks with you from your visits to that country?
So I've been there 7 times, 4 times in the nuclear facilities. And I would say the first and most important thing is the capabilities of the nuclear technical people and the complex. And then the other aspect, sort of the people. We tend to demonize the leadership of other countries, and some countries certainly deserve it, but we shouldn't demonize the people.
That's Sig Hecker, who is a senior fellow at the Center for International Security and Cooperation at Stanford University and emeritus director of Los Alamos National Laboratory. And as we've heard there, somebody who's been to North Korea many, many times. Sig Hecker, thank you for joining us.
It was my pleasure, Jeremy.